Colour Sergeant Mitchell, Reel 2.
What was the first, after leaving Germany, the next place that the brigade went to was Egypt, wasn't it? When I think Ken Darling was the brigade commander.
Cyprus and Egypt.
Cyprus and Egypt. Yeah. When they were in the caravan?
Yes.
Right.
I left in 1951, but I was assisting them in Egypt.
Yes. So when did you go back then to the company, or did you stay in it the whole time?
No.
You never left it?
No. I was in the. I left the company in 1951.
Right.
After it was formed in 1948, and then I went back in 1965.
Right.
When the one bought me all.
Yes.
I was sailing with the SAS the first time.
So you were back with the SAS?
Yes.
Yeah.
And they took over an SAS role, an SAS support role with me in Borneo. And of course, the complicated equipment and all that, the more complex type of equipment.
Mm-hmm.
What was happening, we were recruiting a lot of young sort of troop commanders and that from the Brigade of Guards, wanted obviously to get out in the field, and suddenly one of them got detailed to do all this soft cutting and all the rest of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was John Head, the Irish Guards who was standing there, who decided that it would be far better for the company if he dropped a regimental officer and brought him a qualified support master.
Right,
in other words, and get the thing done properly,
yeah.
He was saying.
Yeah.
And so that.
That's how you came in.
That's right.
Yeah, right.
And of course, from there, we formed G Squadron.
Right, yes.
Because, the fact it was a good company,
they
performed well.
Yes. And a lot of people, I mean, G Squadron recruited most of the people from the company.
Yes, we spent the first 16.
Yeah, yeah.
To form it up.
That's right, yeah.
Bit of opposition from the SAS in this market, but they hadn't done the proper SAS selection course.
Right.
Although they'd done two operational tours in Borneo,
right.
Having done the SAS jungle selection course.
Right.
But planning off at that time, I think it was when they agreed, decided that they were good enough for them.
That made it. Yeah.
Yes, and they had some quite good, one particularly good contact in Borneo.
And so Egypt was something else.
And he was building.
Yeah.
And then we went to Timber Lake Camp.
Yeah.
All right. Camp.
Yeah.
I still managed to get it on one occasion.
Did you then go? Then you went to Cyprus.
Yes.
Came back to England and went to Cyprus when the brigade went out.
Yes.
Did you have to do go back to England as from the battalion? I think it was two and three had to go back to get themselves up to speed on that parachuting.
No.
Because you were up. You were up to.
We were always because of getting down together. We were
right.
Always to, and we didn't. Quite a few jumps as well.
Yeah.
Different company commanders were very keen on getting jumps into the big company.
Did you operate in Cyprus during the years, I think?
Yes.
As well, what other company?
Yes.
Yeah.
Again, it's a big thing.
Right.
So it was back in hunting.
Yeah.
Not with a tremendous lot of success in that sort of thing. But there again, it's inhibited the move because
of the matter. And then Suez came along.
Yes. We went out, stopped with the horse guards, the horse guards, the generals, in their camp while wheels got going, and then one section went off and jumped in the fence.
Right.
At Suez.
Right.
We had one Egypt there, a large guard, and the rest of us went in by sea. And disembarked, port by the right.
Didn't you then need two para down the through the canal?
Down the canal. Guard para and two, number one company, no, number two company, two para. All alternated.
Going down the road?
Yes,
yeah.
25 miles and got onto the mainland before they stopped.
And one thing that always intrigued me about that was that you led two para down, having disembarked from landing ships, was how you found your way through the town where there was still fighting going on.
They would
sneak through.
A lot of issues, I suppose.
Yes, because I mean, it was quite a hard battle going on the docks, wasn't there?
Yes, the commanders. In among the buildings, there was one particular truck coming away with holding a gun, and the crew, I don't know who it belonged to now, but they were turning and shooting at the line black as the ramp.
Right.
And apparently somebody had shot at them, and they were repeating shoot. And the Marines were up front of them, and I thought I'd rather be back where I was, because you'd rather get shot by your own. There was a little bit of that going on.
Yes, because you eventually found your way through the town.
Oh, yes.
We
took up number one stick, which was mine. We had to go through and secure. There's an iron bridge there.
Yeah.
And we secured, wrecked that, and made sure it was supposed to be held, because if they're going to hold anything here, it would be there.
Right.
But when we got there, and we went around it, there was nobody there anyway.
Was this one just south of through it?
Of
the port side?
Yes, the first one.
Yeah.
And then two para went through ice.
Right. Then you were stopped in the middle of the night, weren't you?
Oh, yes. We were right up the course, a good 20-odd miles.
About to open out.
That's right.
Yeah. And then you were stopped with the ceasefire.
Yeah.
Then you dug in there.
That's right. Yeah. We made a very good... We had the iron railway sleepers.
Mm.
And we didn't have to stop the course, but we made a couple of commands very safe. Must have been the best dugout in the operation, because we lined it with these
railway sleepers. But wasn't it a frightful, it was a sort of marsh almost, wasn't it? It was a sort of salt marsh, wasn't it? Sort of filthy place.
If they were to hold us anywhere, it should have been there.
Yes, but they
although, of course, they could only deploy backwards. So
right.
They were trapped on it as well.
Right.
Amazing that.
Which one is Tomlin?
That's why it's come home.
The Grenadiers did our
Wilbur?
Did the record do
that? Yes, 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 yes,
yes,
right.
Yes. And then you were withdrawn from Swiss?
Yes.
Yeah, yes. With everybody else?
So I backed it back to Cyprus.
Yeah.
And then I left him there, and actually, I posted him as chief commissioner for the first time.
Right.
Because I was being held back there because I was in senior.
Mm.
Got a gold star.
Right.
In case somebody got hit on the head.
Good morning.
You had a reserve.
Ah.
Right, here we go.
We'd wanted to go on literally a week before we went out to Germany, and I got married 2 days after landing Gala, so I didn't make us travel to Germany until later. But we didn't have time, really, for Bobby Steele and I and everybody to get together and say, now this is what we're going to do, but we were under tremendous pressure from Brigade Gala to wear our own cap badges. That's why I thought we had to talk. And so we put this drill brigade, the parachute brigade headquarters, absolutely no area. When we got out there, I just arrived, I was with my honeymoon, and Ken Darling came to visit us. And Bobby Steele went for it in the order room. I was there, saying, why went you house to wear our own camera? It's so much better than independent transcom. Absolutely not. So I then created Kingsley Relations, to him, or the appendix, whatever it is, of the Brigade of Guards. Their brigade formation would be placed under direct command of anybody other than the Guards General. And I said, therefore, ergo, we are under command of London District, and attached to you.
Did he
have to do it? I really did. It was tongue in cheek. I had to sort of support Bobby somehow. And anyway, it went on and on and on. And we realized we had to get away. So we then compromised on the brigade clash behind.
Right.
But very reluctantly, he gave way to but it was very amusing. I met a member sitting in the order room. Oh, we went on and on. You know what
Ken's
like. Yes. I turned him the other day and he reminded me
of this. Make an expression.
Yes.
Yes.
I had a little bit of sympathy with him. One day, you know, when he came in, of course, he was expecting to see an invitation to come to your passport. An enormous blue vest and flag that he was beginning to see. And every single thing that could be painted was by Thompson.
Yes.
What a blue red room. I mean, there were tons of blue red room paint for those halls. And I think that's
really upset on this
man. He was the regiment of Connell then.
That's right. Yes, that's right.
And he was particularly trusted because he'd actually been
given the job of
actually forming the
parachute and sort of instituting it.
I cut them on that.
That's right.
Well,
he's a red room. Put it all together. So when he saw this news, we're not about to take any notice of anything he said.
I'm sure.
What was worse, that was the brigade commander, Walter Kempster. Well, an absolutely charming man, a marvelous man. He came on the visit, didn't come into this particular meeting, but he was absolutely pro everything we would do.
Right.
Because he wasn't parachute either, didn't he?
Yeah.
No, he was. Oh, no, he was alive.
Hmm.
But I told her to a bit of a rough ride. He's a very good place.
He turned very cool, didn't he?
Hmm?
He turned quite
cool. Oh, absolutely. Please do not.
Because I remember having an admin inspector, the annual admin.
Yes, I know.
He was late at that time, but Major Agnew was not in the and I was cool. He was that.
Where was this? Was this in
Egypt?
Turbright.
Just before Egypt.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got two. You've got the admin from the guard, the admin from the airport.
Yeah, that's right. So the company lived at Turbright.
Yes. You know, it's nice of that. I never thought they'd allow that either.
So you lived actually at Turbright.
Away from the rest of the
store. That's the
was living away from.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes. It came off the good point about the talk phase.
The other thing was
that we didn't exactly like.
Yes. What didn't you like?
I think it was a bit. Yeah, I was just a mere sort of gumball parasite.
Yeah.
Which is not over.
No.
No, wouldn't you climb the squash? With the new ones coming in, squash the idea that I'm a parachute, I'm 10 foot tall.
So, that was something
they always emphasized, is just the move of transport.
Yes.
Make you a little.
Goes on today, actually, you know.
It does very much.
Very much. Yes.
They always, in my, the time I was a teenager, I always had the impression that the airborne brigade in our time, they really admired us and really looked up to us, and we got on very, very well. The brigadier always made a fuss of us when he came. If you went to a Brazil, one of his powers, they
made him
quite well
here. Let me go on. The next operation was Borneo, wasn't it? Or what was in between?
Well,
we've
got.
Unless you want to come back. I mean, I'm quite happy to stay, but.
I was trained driver.
From the who'd been Galvan?
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
We were from North Battalion there. And just went down to all those dumps and releasing samples.
Right.
Yeah.
No,
we
few of them. The Dan must have been with me first to tell him Welsh guards are here to tell their name.
Yeah.
And I came back on the Monday and reported to the Irishman. And he said, oh, I might be in the almost fourth. And I said, well, I'll join them. And I got into traffic. And I was always amused at people that were shouting around the track. And I said to somebody, oh, get a move on. Get into double time or something. And not just me. Prior to that, I had said to some Irish warrant officer, if you're going to throw that thing, get the feel of it first. And he obviously did. He got right off with just getting the feel of it and retrieving it. So he picked it up. He must have turned with it, released it, fell on his backside. Soap was coming towards me and showing it. Look out, sir. That's all I remember. I walked into the hammer.
Right.
I walked to him. Look out, sir. And we'll see what. The category there.
Yeah.
The chain went brrrr and caught me there. And then I went. Now, I did gain a little bit of consciousness to see a couple of arrows looking down on me, and they pushed me into like a hot thing. Corrugated, I could just visualize that. And I remember getting up and trying to walk across the side. But after that, I don't know, I went into a hospital and, you know, was just unconscious for 10 days. Well, I finally used to get out of bed and walk around naked, asking how people were. And eventually I had to be manacled.
Right.
The nurses told me that. Yeah, with manacles to the bed.
Yeah.
I was getting out.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden my leg went up. My arm went down. And the doctors realized I had something wrong with my brain. And I had a subdural hemorrhage.
Right.
So I had to operate on me. But the wife was slowed out. Not because I was going to die, because I was getting better.
Right, yeah.
And the same general who died recently, Major General, I don't know, the Welsh regiment. Tell me. He sat by my bed apparently every day.
Right.
That was when what third battalion was disbanded. Was the third battalion was disbanded. Went out independently.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we were doing six march tours. Right. And then we had a special affair with the airfare from Montauk. So that sort of ever-ready thing.
Right.
Which created affairs.
Well, what, 21 and 23?
That's right.
Yeah.
And we could have called them there. We had a climbing off the top of the mountain.
Right.
He decided that he'd be far better with soldiers who were properly trained how to handle arms, who had basic discipline, like if you need to have some tea in you.
Right.
So, if there was a Gauss company, the Gauss company was selected
to select you
to do it.
And did the whole company go out and do a tour and then come back to England?
That's right. And then
a 6 month tour. And then do the second tour.
Right. How much was there in between?
Well, this was on tour.
Very little. A couple of months, really.
Yeah. And out of the game. Right. And you were doing very much the same sort of thing as the USA as well, which was, I mean, we can talk about it now, but Clara Thompson.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Across
first
the board.
Time. Yes.
First time.
You do in practice.
No.
Because obviously we've done a great deal to let out
the right.
process to see the arms things like that.
Right.
So a lot of stuff to do with that. We did more heart and mind stuff.
Right.
The Balan tribes.
So you were living in the village and doing heart and mind.
That's right. But surveillance as well, of course.
Yeah.
The second tour was opened up to us and we tackled in full Iberian role.
Yeah.
Which is called the Border Operation.
And what I remember was cross-border operations fixing and finding their companies.
That's right.
And then either leading in bigger patrol, bigger operation,
yes.
Or actually dealing with them yourself.
If you thought you could.
If you thought you could. Now, who's the capital name in
A Scots garrison called Somerset McGill.
Yeah.
And he had quite a good contact. He found. He was watching a drive of a bed, fairly dry. And there was about 11 people came around the corner.
Yeah.
Indonesians.
And they were Indonesian soldiers.
That's right.
Yeah.
So he attacked. And I think he killed all 11.
He was a standard four-man patrol. He and three others.
No, there were about three patrols together.
Right.
They got together.
Right.
So it was about 12. And they killed all 11.
Yeah.
And then suddenly waterborne starts coming down on them.
Yeah.
But what exactly bumped was the advance party of a company.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And then he put his exfiltration procedures into operation. And he got all his patrol out.
Yeah.
Without casualty, except one young cool sailor, 18 years old. He was on the Bren gun, actually.
Yeah.
And he'd taken it out, that muscle facing the enemy, and some business, and the thing broke up.
Yeah, right.
And he went back, actually, to try and collect the body group. And a lot of contact was withdrawn.
Yeah.
And there was an 18-year-old, he was just an 18-year-old guy off him. And he was lost.
Yeah.
It had been well trained that an RV and an hotel to the RV.
Yeah.
And of course he came back, and I was a baby at that time, because I was born a master at that time.
Yeah. Yeah.
John Head was grandin. And I mean, he was in a whole terrible state, you can imagine, you know.
We're going to sort of get helicopters out and all that.
Yeah.
And I said, look, this is a situation where you've just